Welcome, this is Carla DeDessi from Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. We have been following Common Core and what that means, the definition of, and we've been educating ourselves to how we are instituting this in the great state of Pennsylvania and across the nation. But we have a lot of concerns about Common Core, so we wanted to do yet another show about Common Core. We had Rich Felice multiple times sharing his perspective. He's with Pennsylvanians Against Common Core. And this morning I feel very privileged to have Susan Buzzin with me, who has studied Common Core for over 2,000 hours. That absolutely makes her an expert. She is also a committee person here in Pennsylvania. And she had her children in school, traditional school, but recently pulled them out and is homeschooling them. We also have Dawn Sweeney with us, and she also has a blog, which is optoutpa.blogspot.com. She has been spending years battling this as well. She has two children in traditional school and three who are homeschooled. And Anita is going to be joining us as well, who is going to be sharing a little bit about opting out also, but also talking about standardized tests and assessments and how they play a role or hinder our children's education. So Susan Buzzin, thank you for being here with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Carla. It is definitely my pleasure to be here with you.
Can you share with us what is Common Core? Give us a little background.
Common Core was adopted by many states through the Obama administration's Race to the Top. And we were offered grants to adopt Common Core. It is a set of standards, they say, that are state-led, but unfortunately, we are finding that it is a top-down federal education program. And that is very concerning. And what else is concerning is that it's not just about educational standards. It is about data mining your children. And that is what we at Pennsylvanians Against Common Core are especially concerned about.
And data mining or data collection is that they are tracking our children from kindergarten up through seniors?
Well, really the workforce. They're really referring to it now more as womb to workforce data tracking.
So if our children are in preschool, that's how they would be data tracking our children.
Absolutely.
Okay. And for those of us that keep our children home with us, they obviously would not start tracking that information until we would put them into public school.
Exactly. Yes.
And what kind of things are they tracking about our children? IQ, physical ability?
We can only assume through our research that pretty much everything now with the technology advancements in education and obviously in around the world, that just about everything your child is doing is being tracked. And before, it wasn't a stretch to say, okay, my child's information is being collected by the district and then possibly going on to the Pennsylvania Department of Education. And then they were going to collect that data and use it to better the education of our students. Now, when Common Core was adopted in all of these states, one of the things that they were required to do in order to receive grant money was institute what they call a statewide longitudinal data system, which in Pennsylvania is referred to as PIMS, the Pennsylvania Informational Management System. So everything from your child's test grades to, and unfortunately, this is probably what Anita is going to be talking about a lot more later, to attitudes regarding social issues, justice issues, et cetera, are all going to be tracked using these data tags. And the information is going to be stored in one of these data systems. And the concerning thing for us is that before, that information was kept private or anonymous. But now, third parties are able to access that information, such as publishing companies. I mean, there's a whole list of things that, again, Anita will go into a little bit later. But it's against, we are not allowed to have a national data system here in the United States.
It's unconstitutional.
It's unconstitutional. But now the federal government is going to be able to access all of these longitudinal data systems.
And it's also unconstitutional that the federal government has a hold on our education. It's supposed to be controlled by the states.
Exactly.
But let's talk about your personal experience. What were you seeing in your schooling that you decided you had to take your children out and homeschool them?
Well, it all started last fall. I went to back to school night, and one of the things that really concerned me was the fact that they told us that we were really not going to be getting a lot of books home. We weren't going to be getting a lot of work home. And that immediately made me think, how am I going to know exactly what my child is learning? And I heard the word Common Core, I think, maybe mentioned once. And I had no idea what it was. And I'd like to say I'm a fairly well-informed parent, and I'm very, very involved in my children's lives. So what happened was, as the weeks went on, I kept wondering, why are we not getting any work home? I literally do not know what my child is learning at school. And I started doing research after I started seeing the words Common Core on a lot of the papers. And when I found out exactly what it was, I was literally up all night researching it because I could not believe my eyes. I started doing a lot of digging. I did find out that this new educational system of standards was not something that was just thought up either by the state of Pennsylvania. You just think, oh, it's just the latest educational fad, until you realize who is behind it, which of course is Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Chief Council of State School Officers, and the National Governors Association. All of these people who have, first of all, a political and financial interest in our educational system. But it really started to bother me that the more I researched, the more I realized that the people who were making up the standards were not educators themselves.
Right. So it would be like a doctor. It would be like someone creating a medical plan for someone who has a stroke or a brain injury, and they're not a doctor. They have not gone to medical school.
Exactly.
Why
yes.
should we trust their opinion?
Yes.
It's not going to be in the patient's best interest. So we feel that this is not in our children's educational best interest.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's a one-size-fits-all, and that's the thing that is very concerning as well. It is forcing certain learning styles on children who are not able to fit inside of that one box. And what I found in my particular instance was that either the standards were either way too easy or they were so difficult that they were age inappropriate. And it was the chaotic mix that I really was having a hard time with, and my children were starting to have a hard time with as well. It was very, very frustrating.
Which is also another important point, that the wise thing to do would be to take one school and try Common Core standards with them. That has not been done. They have snuck it in, is my understanding.
Yes.
In the wee hours of the morning, in the dark hours of the morning, they've planted this in all of our school districts and said, go at it.
Yes.
And we don't really know at the end of a year or 2 or 5 years using this if our students are going to be more intelligent or if they're going to be less intelligent. We do not have that research out there, which is extremely troublesome to me. Talk to us a little bit about, because this is your experience, when you took your children out of the traditional school, and I knew that you saw a lot of other things that were big red flags.
Yes.
That you might want to share really quickly.
Well, I just happened to notice I know a lot of parents talk about the indoctrination that they see in their child's schoolwork. I was starting to see that to a certain degree. Now, and just as a personal note, I really liked our schools. I really loved our teachers. The principals were available to talk to me at any time, and I really don't think that anybody should ever blame the school or definitely not the teachers, because most of them that I've talked to are completely against it.
Same.
Right. But there have been a lot of cases that I've read about that are true Common Core standards. A lot of the stuff floating out there isn't necessarily Common Core. It is egregious that it's in the schools. But actual Common Core work, there have been a lot of examples of true indoctrination, of changing, for instance, the history of our country. And another thing that was really concerning to me was, again, the inappropriateness of the leveled learning. For instance, the math was very troublesome as well. it's just a completely different way of doing math. I'm sure a lot of parents in your listening audience are sitting around the kitchen table with their children and struggling the way we did mm-hmm. with math and the new concept of teaching math this new way.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing wrong with the old way. Mm-hmm. And I'm all for research. I'm all for education. And I'm all for teaching kids in new ways. But this is doing nothing but frustrating children, and I know because I saw it with my own.
And frustrating parents as well. And school should be something where we are learning, but it should also be fun. And I was very blessed because I've always homeschooled my children and then decided to mainstream them when they're more in sixth or seventh grade. Now I'm holding off on my little two because I dislike Common Core so much, but many friends were complaining that in the younger, in the grammar years, they are learning this abstract way of doing math, which, as we all know, children in those grammar years are very concrete. That's why the columns lining up so well with the ones, the tens, and the hundreds work so remarkably well. That's building a great foundation. So I want you to just share with all of our listeners that you were a traditional homeschooling family that never thought you would homeschool your children, but because of Common Core, that's actually how I ended up meeting you. But you are very successfully homeschooling your children.
I am.
So and it can be done.
It absolutely can be done. And I do want to share with people that homeschooling is something that I never, ever thought I would do. It is nothing that I ever had anything against. I had no problem. I never thought badly of people who did or anything. It's just that Common Core made our lives so it just upended our lives for an entire year while we were trying to decide what to do. And we thought there just has to be a better way. And one of the things that I really struggled with, and my husband as well, was the thought that all of the standardized tests that, of course, homeschoolers are required to take in Pennsylvania, it's third, fifth, and eighth grade, are now being aligned to Common Core. So my husband and I worried about not having our children perform well on these standardized tests because they were not going to be learning, for instance, the Common Core math methods. Now, we are doing a traditional math at home right now, but we know that we are just going to try our best and that when it comes down to it, we decided after praying an awful lot about it that we are not here on this earth to prepare our children for standardized tests. We are here to prepare our children's soul for eternal life. And we just felt we were being bombarded with a lot of secular views and things that just were not going to develop them as good Christian citizens. And we took the leap. I'm not going to lie and say that it was smooth sailing for the first couple of weeks, because it was really hard. It was really hard. So for anybody who might be thinking about it or has done it and you're thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done? Did I do the right thing? It does get better. And you learn to find a support system like I did with you, Carla.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to find people who have done it, who are good at doing it, and you realize that you can get the confidence in order to do it well.
That's exactly correct. And I think that as a homeschool mom, we get a lot of negative. So when you meet another homeschool mom that absolutely adores it and loves it, yes, it's a challenge, but the payoff is priceless. And as homeschool families and mothers, we really need to surround ourselves with encouraging and supportive homeschool families. And let me just share with you that my children did take the standardized tests, the PSSAs in third grade and fifth grade, and I wasn't doing anything that the school was doing at all. I always handpicked my own curriculum. Gosh, the first couple of years, I actually just created my own when they were in kindergarten and first grade. We'd go to the library. And they've always done grades higher on all of their standardized tests. And as we know, research proves across the board that homeschoolers do 30% better nationally on all of these standardized tests. So just let that be an encouragement to all of you who are homeschooling, that if Common Core comes into, and it is coming into all the standardized tests, I really would not freak out about it. And even if our kids do poorly on that, I truly believe that even the colleges aren't going to be looking at these standardized tests soon. This is a great opportunity to talk to Dawn Sweeney right now. Thank you so much, Susan, and please jump in. Dawn, how are you?
I'm doing well. Very well said, Susan.
Thank you, Dawn.
Dawn, share with us everything that you've been learning about Common Core and your experience and opting out in particular.
Okay. I just wanted to add one thing to what Susan said about womb to workforce. It's not just an education, and this is something folks at home can look into. The Department of Education, the Department of Labor, and the Department of Health have all combined data collection efforts. So it starts when mom's pregnant and goes sees her doctor. The data collection starts then and continues through to the workforce. That's what womb to workforce is.
And I can see how that is being set up because my husband happens to be a doctor, and they have been informed that they must do mm-hmm. the EPIC computer system.
Yes,
which is
everything's on the cloud.
Correct. Everything's being forced to these doctors through the federal government that they nationally, everybody must be using EPIC. And if you don't use EPIC, they're going to be fined daily some enormous
yes.
fee. So certainly that makes exactly what you're saying makes sense to me.
It's something to be aware of.
Absolutely.
So my kids were all homeschooled up until seventh grade. My two oldest started public school in seventh grade. The transition went very well for them. It concerned me. The red flag went up for me when my oldest spent so much time on the PSSAs. And we didn't get the results back until September, and then I get a word, proficient or basic or advanced, to tell me how she's doing. And that's when I started looking into what was happening. I simply didn't want her to take those tests. And I found out that there's a lot more involved in all of this. I've really focused my time and energies on opting out. In Pennsylvania, we have a very simple process to opt out of the PSSAs and the Keystone exams. You simply send a letter to your school principal and or superintendent stating that you would like to opt your child out. Then you do need to review the PSSAs and or the Keystones, and that cannot be done until about 2 weeks prior to the administration of those in the spring because the schools don't have them yet. So once they get delivered, the principal or the superintendent will get in touch with you, set up an appointment, you review it at the school. At that time, you would sign a confidentiality agreement that you would not share the content of what's in the test. And when I go to review the PSSAs, I submit my letter that I have reviewed it on this date and wish to opt my child out for religious reasons. I hand it to the principal, and that's it.
Dawn, do you have to do that before every grade, every test, or you just do
yes.
that one time? Okay.
No, you have to do that every year.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I have an eighth grader, and I've considered opting her out because I just think that it's a big waste of time. And
mm-hmm.
she shared with me that this year they're doing CDTs in math, then they're doing
yes.
the benchmarks, then they're doing the PSSAs in math and English,
yes.
and then they're doing the math keystones. I think
yes.
I counted up 6 standardized tests.
That's correct, and they probably do that. My daughter's in eighth grade as well. I've opted her out of all of those.
And when you do that, do you feel like they're still just teaching to the test?
Absolutely.
So it's like,
they'll do these benchmarks, CDTs, Study Island, through the entire year. The CDTs can be done up to 5 times a year, which seems to be the trend. Now, the CDTs are computer diagnostic tests. They are generally done in the beginning, in the middle, and close to the end of the year. They're done prior to the PSSAs. They are 100% Common Core aligned. They are aligned to the content of the PSSAs. For example, my daughter has, they're done over 2 days. They take 75 to 90 minutes. So a class period is generally around 40, 45 minutes. Already my daughter has been in the class when the students have taken English, 2 days of English CDTs, 2 days of algebra CDTs or math, and 2 days of science. So that's 6 days in September and October, 2 months. I've opted her out of them. She's either sat in the class in front of the computer and she could access other things on the computer. She could do homework. She could read. She could do nothing.
Basically, it's a waste of time because they could be teaching our children to read and write on those 6 days.
It's 6 days of lost instructional time, not just for my daughter who's opted out, but for these other kids who are on the computer. And I've been trying to get what student-specific information do teachers and students have access to after they take these CDTs and Study Island. They get a score. There's trends in the classroom that they might be able to work on, but I'm trying to pinpoint what student-specific data or information comes out of these computer programs where a teacher and a student works through in an educational way what the student's strengths and, more importantly, weaknesses are. And I haven't found any. Same as with the PSSAs and Keystone exams. There's no opportunity. My older daughter took the algebra Keystone last year. She's got a 3.8 GPA. She passed algebra with a B, and she did not score proficient. So I wanted to review the Keystone exam with her teacher, with my daughter, and myself to see what her weaknesses are. If she's going to take this test again, let's go over how she did and see what happened. I'm not allowed access to that, nor is the teacher. What the PDE told me is for $75, I could get her answer booklet, which does not have the test questions.
Okay.
So there's no educational value to that.
And I just have to back up for a minute because that seems like a violation of our parental rights or even as our individual rights, child's rights. And is this, because we have been doing standardized tests for quite a while. I was in school in the 70s and 80s.
Right. We did the Iowa test.
And the CAT, remember the California Achievement Test?
Yes.
Now, is this the first test, though, in the current years, now we're not allowed to see what they're asking our children? Because I'm sure, I do the CAT sometimes with my children now. I see all the questions, so I'm allowed to see the questions.
Correct. I do the CAT with my kids as well. There's high security surrounding these. They don't even trust our teachers with them. In my school district, and I'll assume it's similar in other school districts, they pay $500 a year to have the Keystones and the PSSAs delivered to the school. And they're secure. When I review them with the principal, he doesn't look at them. The teachers are not permitted to look at them. If they catch something, it's like a gag order. They cannot talk about what's on the test.
A gag order? It sounds like communism.
It is, and even one concern that I had when I reviewed the PSSA, I knew it was there, I looked for it, and it was there, it stipulates a fine that if students or parents, that's why we signed this confidentiality agreement, were to speak about the content of the PSSA, they would be fined $30,000.
Oh my.
Well, I don't think any student, anyone can, I mean, how can students, that's like a contract. Students are not of legal age to be accountable for something like that, but it's just the security is ridiculous surrounding these tests.
Dawn, let's talk about how much time is spent preparing for all of these tests, which really don't do anything for our children. So, again, we're wasting their precious education time.
A very conservative amount of time is about 20% per class. Last year, my daughter was in algebra. They did regular algebra, and then they did Keystone algebra. We did not have the curriculum for the Keystones. They would have worksheets and pamphlets that were Keystone. So there was sort of two different algebras going along. I tracked in discussions with my daughter and seeing what they did in class. She spent about 35% of time prepping and taking the Keystone algebra exam in one class. So it would vary by school district, but my eighth grader, if you consider the time, 6 days in 2 months doing test prep, they're going to do 6 days mid-year. They'll do 6 days near the end of the year. That's 18 days in a class doing test prep.
Right.
And that's not all they do. So, and then you have the block of time in April and May, which is about 6 weeks, where kids are not testing every day, but you have the 3 or 4 week windows for the PSSAs. And in eighth grade, there's 3 weeks of testing. In seventh grade, there was 1 week of testing, but my daughter, when she was opted out last year, the PSSA, she sat in a room attached to the office and could bring things to do. It was a waste of time. One day I took her to the museum because, she just literally sat in her room and she could read, she could draw, she could work on homework, but there's no homework in this month and a half where the school is doing this testing.
So if we all opted out, or if 40% of us opted out, then what? Then the government would not be able to track our children?
Well, and from what I've read, the number seems to be 6 to 10%. Some people say 6%, some people say 10%. That would nullify the scores. That's something I don't really understand. I'm not sure why. But let me backtrack. There's two ways to opt out. You can opt out of the PSSAs and the Keystone exams for religious reasons, and that's in our Pennsylvania school code. There's something called COPPA, C-O-P-P-A. That's the Children's Online Privacy Protecting Act. This is why kids who are 12 and under cannot get a Facebook account. There's things online that this protects children from putting information online. So this isn't necessarily an educational realm. This is computer privacy, that parents cannot allow their children to get a Facebook account, and Facebook cannot give an account to an 11-year-old. This is something that United Opt Out, which is a national movement for opting out, has quite a bit of information on. But we can opt out our kids who are 12 and under out of all electronic programs, computer assessments, computer learning tools. And this is a huge deal for the opt-out movement, because this is something that absolutely protects our kids from online data collection, which is what they're doing in school. I've opted my kids out of all computer assessments. They do everything paper pencil. The other things, if parents are getting a hard time from their school districts, they can request a anonymous login or group login to anything that they do online that's not connected to their student ID. So there are ways around it, and parents, if they really don't want their kids online, they can do these programs but not have their student ID attached to them with an anonymous login or group login. But kids are absolutely protected with COPPA.
Okay.
And then it just, if you're opting out of the PSSAs or the Keystones and you send in your opt-out letter via email or written letter, I like to use email because I can track the written responses. I do it in the beginning of the year, and I let them know any test prep exclude my children. And I will say that all of my kids' teachers are extremely supportive. My principals, the superintendent, have been extremely supportive of everything. I went in with both fists closed, ready for a fight, and I got no fight whatsoever. They supported. I feel like none of my teachers' kids support Common Core, and they tell me in small ways, mm-hmm. through emails and things. And I've had teachers thank me, and they're very appreciative, and, it's it's been a positive, opting out has been a very positive experience. It's not the case for everyone, but teachers are not in favor of Common Core.
I agree. I was just at school last night with my kids, and the teachers, they really dislike it. Let me ask you this. Do the schools get money or some kind of prestige with increased participation in these tests? Like, what is in it for them?
That
is
was anything? The case with No Child Left Behind.
Okay.
You had the AYP. With Race to the Top, we no longer have AYP. We have the school profiles, which, as you know, came out about 2 weeks ago. And those school profiles, for whatever they mean, that's the prestige that schools would get.
Like they get the blue ribbon school or something.
Yeah, yep.
If they have increased participation.
And then if you have lower participation, you have the Title I schools, and then you're required to do a little bit more. The non-Title I schools to get the grades up.
Okay. So I'm just trying to understand why the administration and may want to do all of the standardized testing. Really, all that's in it for them is that they might get a kudos or higher up on that.
There's not much in it for the school district. Their hands are really tied. And even things like, If a school district this year is performing at a 95 or 96% proficient in math for their 8th grade class, so 96% is excellent. That's very good. Next year they test, if they go to 95, just 1% lower, which is still excellent, mm-hmm. that's considered failing. That's in the realm of these school profiles, as they look at them, that's a bad mark on the school.
And again, that's coming from federal standards, not state?
That's a gray line.
Okay.
The Common Core is federal, but we have to say that our states accepted it.
Okay.
So it is coming from our Pennsylvania Department of Education, the school profiles. However, it is all connected federally.
Okay, so Dawn, I just want to encourage our listeners to go to the article that you sent to me, which is opt out of all online testing and online curriculum.
Yes.
For under age 13.
That's correct.
And also to check out your blog site, which is optoutpa.blogspot.com.
That's correct.
Because there was a lot of information there.
Yeah.
That I think is really important. Okay. Now we also have with us on the line Anita Hoge. Am I saying your name correctly, Hoge?
You are. It's Hoge.
Hoge. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And again, Susan and Dawn, please jump in. But Anita, if I can just give a little bit of your background. You filed a federal complaint against the last Pennsylvania state assessment called EQA. This test was measuring and scoring the attitudes and values of our students, which is a violation of federal law. Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment. You found that Pennsylvania was the model for the national assessment of educational progress. You've been an expert witness in several education lawsuits, one in which we all won in the Ohio Supreme Court, and you've been the main researcher, contributor, and subject of the book Educating for the New World Order, which I think would benefit all of us to read. And you've written articles and published on Common Core, choice, and charter schools. And recently, you have been exposing the data mining of our students through the loopholes in FERPA, which stands for Family Education Rights in Privacy Act. And my first question, because a lot of friends have asked this of me, Anita, is, well, is it really an invasion of our children's rights? Because my understanding is that it's a number that my child has. It's not her name. So they can't come knocking on our door and find her, can they?
Well, yes, they absolutely can. And what I'd like to do is explain what actually happened whenever we were explaining beforehand about the new state longitudinal data system that was put in place in Pennsylvania called the PIMS, Pennsylvania Information Management System. So what happened in 2011, there were a lot of testimony and there was a proposed rulemaking to change FERPA, the Family Education Rights and Privacy Act. And what had happened at that time is President Obama had created an executive order to what they refer to as unlocking the data. And what this meant was that personally identifiable information on your children could be accessed by third-party contractors. So when you look at the FERPA loopholes, which is federal regulations, they change the definition of what is personally identifiable information. So it includes the student name, the parents, family members, the address, personal identifiers like the Social Security number, your student ID, your unique ID in Pennsylvania, and also a biometric record.
Okay, so just back up for a minute. So you are saying that unlocking the data, when they look at that little number, then they are privy to parents, everything.
Absolutely. And they redefined and put the definition into this federal regulation. And this federal regulation, realized, was done by fiat. It was not done through congressional authorization to change the law. So Obama unlocked this data. The new definition for biometric data that can also be shared is also biological or behavioral characteristics. And this would include fingerprints, retina scans, iris patterns, voice prints, DNA sequences, facial characteristics, and handwriting. Now, as you read through and parents think their children's records are protected, they are not. Within the regulations for FERPA, there was a whole entire section that was entitled where prior consent is not required. What they had said specifically was that they could now give this disclosure to school officials. They redefined a school official to be a contractor, a consultant, a volunteer, or any other party to whom the Department of Ed would outsource information could be considered a school official. So when I saw that this had happened, I was absolutely furious because I knew exactly what was going to happen in this new federal database that they were creating, but we needed to be able to prove it. So I had researched the templates that State Department, the Pennsylvania Department of Education, would use to have these outside contractors sign these written agreements. So we were trying to get the information out. We were trying to actually write a privacy bill that would stop the data from flowing to these outside contractors. And I had several meetings in Harrisburg. So the very first meeting that we had was with Representative Lawrence. And she, I had helped him write a letter requesting the documents because I knew which documents that we would need to prove that the Department of Ed was transferring this data outside of the borders of Pennsylvania. This letter was also signed by Representative Truitt, Representative Tallman, Representative Bloom, and Representative Kaufman. And we requested all of the contracts and written agreements of who has access to this personally identifiable information. The information came back to Representative Lawrence in a letter from Secretary Demarest. And what she did was she sent all of the contracts on a flash drive. All of a sudden, Representative Lawrence refused to give us the information. There were quite a few people in that meeting when we had requested the documents. So several months went by, and we decided to go, and several other people in our group had spoken to Senator Fulmer, who is the chairman of the Senate Education Committee. He also requested through the same letter that I had written before, requesting these contracts and all of the documents. And finally, they were sent to me. We now have a tremendous amount of information, and actually, I would explain it as being explosive information that we can now prove that are on these contracts. The first thing that these contracts stated was that Pennsylvania was a model for a national ID, a unique national ID. So when you all speak about how your children were given an ID, that is a national ID. They talked about, and this is their words, quote, womb to workplace dossier, connecting birth into the workplace. So not only are they collecting reading and math, okay, from these state assessments, they're collecting all of the background information. So, and another thing I want to add about the opting out is that parents should also opt out of directory information, because directory information also gives all of these contractors not only your name and address, your zip code, the date of birth, mother's maiden name, all of this other information that they can cross-reference. So not only do they have demographic information that they receive through directory information, they also have the personally identifiable information on all of the curriculum, all of the testing, all of the attitudes and values that they are collecting on our children. Another contract that we had received that created this unique ID, they said they gave to 1.8 million students in 2007, all the way up to the age of 21, which would mean college-age children. So those individuals right now would be age 28. So every person age 28 and under have a personal dossier that the federal government is collecting. Another thing that they explained was that the Department of Labor would need the last five digits of the Social Security number to connect wages. So when you realize a lot of this information has actually been, in the past, put into place by the Department of Labor. And you have to also remember that assessment, the definition of assessment, is your value, or it is value of property. So when you are doing assessments and logging in all of this information, they're actually looking for your value to the economy. So when wages were added to this dossier, they are actually looking at human capital, and this is what it is. So they also said specifically in these contracts that all of the data was going to be connected to the National Center of Education Statistics federal data banks. They also stated there will be absolutely no local control, that they are developing a national curriculum that aligns to the Common Core. Teachers are being monitored and evaluated by the test scores. This is why the teachers have to teach to the test. And yes, Pennsylvania is required to do Common Core because of our federal contracts. So when the governor comes out and says, oh, we're going to have hearings, we want parent input, this is a total sham. The Common Core is in place in Pennsylvania. Now, the one last thing I wanted to talk about is what had happened when we had another meeting in Harrisburg on October the 20th. I had written a letter to Secretary Demarest, actually asking her why in the 16th core, academic core standard, was a standard that was called Interpersonal Skills Standards and Anchors. When I had seen this, I had written a letter and asked her if informed written parental consent was being gotten by the department to test and teach in the affective domain. And when I say affective domain, This is the area of attitudes, behaviors, opinions, and beliefs of children. This is your personality traits of your child. When I requested that, she had not returned a response, but in the meeting on October 20th, we had not only it was in the chairman of the Education Committee, Senator Fulmer, but we also had an aide from the governor's office that was there, and this was Andrew Paris. When I had gone through all of these documents with all of the people at this meeting and explained the data collection, we also came to my letter that exposed that the Department of Education was also doing something that was actually wrongdoing. Okay, it was in violation of federal law and in violation of state policy that was put into place whenever I filed my federal complaint. And that's called Basic Education Circular 8-90. 2 days after our meeting in Harrisburg, the governor had requested the Secretary of Education to cleanse the website, the portal, which is called the Standards Aligned System, or SAS, SAS.org, of all the interpersonal skills, and sent a pen link to all 500 school districts saying that the website was cleansed. However, the curriculum remains. This action is actually, it's incredible because it proves wrongdoing by the Department of Education. It proves that they were collecting attitudes, values, beliefs, and opinions of our children. So what we are doing now is we are going to request the governor to stop all data collection until we can investigate all of the contracts that have personally identifiable information that is going to third-party contractors. We want all of this information to be given to everyone in the state of Pennsylvania to realize what exactly is happening. And if this is what we want for the future, because we have to think about this. If every child, every person 28 years and under has a personal, not only demographic dossier, but also a psychometric dossier, including personality traits, all of the information, personally identifiable information, what happens in 10 years? What happens in 20 years? So in a matter of 30 years, you have a complete dossier on every person in the United States because this state longitudinal data system was also put in place in every state in this country. So Anita, what we are talking about...
We have 30 seconds left. I want everybody to order your book, Educating for the New World Order, but how else can we get in touch with you? Do you have a website?
Actually, I do have a website that has, it's actually a blog that I have all of my written articles on. But anyone could go to News with Youth and just Google Hoag, and all of my information comes up almost instantly. And you could contact any of the people with the Pennsylvania Against Common Core, because I am researching and helping them provide the documentation to prove that all of this information is being collected on our children.
So nopacommoncore.com to read Anita Hoag, H-O-G-E, all of the research that you are doing on Common
Correct.
Core. So Anita, Susan, Dawn, thank you so much for giving us your time. God bless all of your efforts in exposing what is happening with our children's education and all of the data collection. I think it's very alarming. I'd like to see local control come back to the states and the parents. And it's never too late to make the right decision. I hope that other parents and families will be encouraged to pull their children out of the public school, but we can't keep the public school the way it is. We can pull our kids out so that their time is not wasted. However, we still need to be in there and know what's happening. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Carla Dedesi with Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL.
small world.